When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
Families have a lot going on. Let Ollie help manage the mental load with new cognitive health supplements for everyone 4 and up, like delicious Ollie Focus Pops or Ollie Mellow Pops for kids. And for parents, try 3 new Brainy Chews to help you focus, chill out, or get energized. Find these cognitive health buddies for the whole fam at Ollie.com. That's OLLY.com. These statements have not been evaluated by the Food and Drug Administration. This product is not intended to diagnose, treat, cure, or prevent any disease.
Why take one vacation with the family when you could take all of them? With Royal Caribbean, you don't just go to the beach. You visit a private island and race down the tallest water slide in North America. You don't just go for a road trip. You ATV and zip line through the jungle. You don't just go somewhere new. You rappel down waterfalls and discover ancient temples. Because this isn't just any vacation. This is all the vacations. Come seek the Royal Caribbean. Ships Registry, Bahamas.
Yeah. Yeah, what do you want? Beak or jaws? Feathers or fur? Sharp teeth or feet with claws? Whatever's preferred. They'll grant you all last requests to steady your nerves. Then podcast the body parts, get severed and served. Bring your weak shit where the wolf and owl are. That ain't just a mistake, that's an awful howler. Both of them are known to pull up at your shows. Have the crowd witnessing a murder like they rolled in with a gang of crows. Fuck the censorship, let them see the whole thing. They stay dressed to kill, never sheep's clothing. Dark enough to turn the sun to the moon. You'll see nothing, all you hear's a huff a puff. Expect killings, red spilling and flesh ripping. Impressive innit, the death bringing his head spinning. Just kidding, every word in his song's about two grown men dressed up as a bird and a dog.
Yes, and welcome to the Wolf and Owl podcast. We need to, I don't like to do this, it's sort of a bit negative. We need to start with an apology that we didn't have a bonus apology. Episode. Are we going to tell them honestly why there was no bonus episode of the Wolf and Owl?
Yeah, I think we have to be honest on this. So, guys, we recorded two podcasts on the one day off that we'd had. Pretty much, what do you think we'd had? One day off in about a month, wasn't it? That we both had.
Yeah.
And we recorded two. One that you guys heard on Wednesday, and the second one no one will ever hear because it was. I mean, to say it was turgid would be.
Yeah. When Tom says no one will ever hear, what I mean is we've deleted all records of it because it's. It's
I listened to the
awful.
Opening 3 minutes and I started crying.
I guess we can give you a bit of a pricey. So basically what happened was, it's like, Tom's right? So we'd had our first day off in a month. We thought, let's get this podcast done. And we started doing it. And it's one of these things that happened where Tom and I, through our faces, we didn't actually say it out loud because we were too worried to. But through our faces, sort of conveyed to each other that we didn't think this was going well in terms of chat and stuff.
Yeah. Right?
So we recorded the main episode. We recorded the bonus episode. The bonus episode, somebody emailed in about a fight, right? And then what followed?
About fighting and just asking
a fighting,
question.
Who would win in a scrap or so? Oh, yeah, what are you like in a scrap? And then Tom and I, well, I'm going to be honest with you, Tom. You've been quite even-handed about this, but let's be absolutely honest. It's mainly me that's at fault here. I reckon about six consecutive anecdotes about a fight I got into when I was a kid. None of them had any comedic merit whatsoever.
You became like a drunk guy in Wetherspoons showing off about
100%. Do you know when you're in your 20s, right? And yeah. Like that's all blokes want to talk about. So he's gone for me, right? And I've gone, nah, you ain't getting me like that, right? So I've gone inside him, right? He's not expecting it. Bang, 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 into the ribs. He doesn't know what the fuck's going on, right?
So then your face was so close to the camera. Like, you were almost inside my computer, how aggressive you got. It was like, it was a whole nother level of like, I mean, you know, we'd had Wednesday's was sort of this grumpy Rom, and then aggressive Rom came into the ring. And it was like, wow, this is something I've never seen before. He had his top off for the last half of it.
Yeah, I was just banging my chest and like screaming and then like pouring like baby all over myself. It was mental.
Number one, right? Number one, like, I love the idea of you thinking that it's really aggressive and quite tough to pour baby all over yourself in a fight.
No, because they can't grab you. They can't get you. Do you know what I mean? They can't get any person.
That's why the guy walked away. He was so scared of the baby oil. I was glistening in baby oil.
Yeah.
All right,
mate. I said to him, like, hold on a fucking second. You want to go? So luckily, I had some baby oil in my bum bag, right? So I just said to him, just wait a fucking second, mate. Just wait. So I'm rummaging around in it. I'm thinking, once I get this out, you ain't going to be able to get hold of me, mate.
I remember actually years ago, I went on holiday and it was like a lad's holiday. And you know, like when sort of out of nowhere, everyone started having these games of water polo. It was sort of like became
what?
one of the big things to do.
What are you talking about?
You know, water polo.
I know water polo. I know that you're putting the emphasis on the wrong word. It's water polo.
What are you saying?
Well, you're saying water polo.
No, that is it. Water polo.
Yeah, no, but what I'm saying is
water polo.
Water polo. There you go. Now you said it.
Why does it matter which one?
It doesn't matter. I'm not. By the way, let me just hold my hands up and say it doesn't matter. It absolutely doesn't matter.
I think, and I respect you. My emphasis should be on polo.
Why? Why?
Because polo's the big thing in the mix, right? If I just went, oh, water polo, you wouldn't know. You go water what? Whereas if I go water polo, you know that I've said water. Polo's the big thing, right?
I think both of those.
Otherwise,
things
I'm just swimming.
That assumes that if you go swimming, you just refer to it as water.
Yeah, but if I said,
what are you, water, what are you up to? Oh, I'm just going to go do water.
What? Yeah, but you'd know what I meant, wouldn't you?
I know what you mean, but I'm not having a go
at you. If I did, turn around to you and you went, oh, where did you go last Tuesday? I'd go, oh, I just went water. Would you know what I meant?
No, I don't think I would.
You wouldn't go, oh, you probably went swimming.
Well, try as an experiment. You're going off to film something later today, right?
Yeah, yeah.
Like, just go.
I'm filming a thing with Jamie Redknapp, so
Do me a favour. Jamie won't have heard this by the time you go and do this. I don't know why I'm explaining how time works. Anyway, the point is, go up to Jamie, and when he says to you what you've been up to today, just go, this morning, just a bit of water. See what he says. See if he knows that means you went swimming.
I'll try and record it as a sound clip.
Yeah, do a little, like, undercover...
Wear a wire type thing.
Yeah.
Okay, I'm here now with Jamie Redknapp, and this is, as we said on the podcast, it's a battle between me and Mom. Jamie has to say what he thinks this means when I ask him, okay? So, Jamie, we haven't cheated. You don't know what I'm going to say, do you?
No idea, Thomas.
Okay, Jamie, if I was to say, I'm going in water, what would you think, what activity would you think I'm going to do?
Swimming.
So, and you haven't been preempted?
No, it just was obvious, isn't it?
Exactly. So, Rom, you're a fucking idiot. Jamie has qualified. What I was saying is right. I win again. Back down, Rom. Back down, bro. Anyway, it becomes very competitive, these water polo games, in this really shitty hotel that we're all staying in Magaluf. Right. And so, you had northern lads, southern lads, you had a bunch of boys from Cornwall, Birmingham, people from all around England, basically. Different guys. And I was actually pretty good at water polo, as it turned out. Right. I was tall. I had a decent enough throw on me. But it used to get quite rough. And, occasionally you'd sort of break into sort of like little scraps or whatever. It was quite sort of, I'd say actually at times I'd say it was probably one of the most entertaining sports endeavours I've ever been a part of, right?
What a damning indictment of soccer aid, by the way.
If you saw, there was a lot more action. Literally, I've seen more active statues of me at soccer aid. I had to get warmed up to come off the fucking pitch and sit on the bench. That's literally... There's so many instructions that I had to try and remember in my head, and it just killed me in soccer aid. But day three, I'm like, people are grabbing me, they're dunking me in the water. It becomes quite like, physical. So I absolutely coat myself in coconut oil. Mm. So when people are trying to grab me, I'm just slipping out of their hands.
Sure.
And it was, mate, it literally, before you knew it, everyone playing was just covered, lathered in coconut oil in the pool. And the pool just had like a film on the top of it.
So it sort of basically evolved into essentially like a Pornhub search item. Lads, naked lads covered in baby oil, grapple.
Yeah. All with this, I remember, because this would take place, you'd have like a maybe a 2-hour slot where the water polo in the afternoon when everyone was waking up and would like sort of, do you want me to come out of bed or a bit hungover or whatever, have a bit of food and play water polo. But I just remember the next day, just sort of like, if you coming home from a club or whatever early in the early hours and just seeing this pool just with like a slipstream of baby oil across.
Like the top of a curry.
Yeah. You know when you get a curry out of the fridge the next day and you're eating it and it's all just congealed.
It's such a horrible reminder of how some places do curries. Do you know what I mean? Like, because you don't get that everywhere, but some places. No. And it's not a bad reflection on the curry because it's often delicious. But like that.
Also, you know when you go, I had a brindle bargee last night. And in my mind, brindle bargee is really, really healthy. It looks healthy when it's hot and steaming. The next day when it's all congealed and it's been in the fridge for 12 hours, just doesn't look the same look.
It's so mad. There's so many times you sort of eat and you go, this is great. Put it in the fridge. And then when you get it out, you go, this doesn't even look like it's fit for human consumption, let alone like a delicious thing that I paid a fair bit of wedge for.
I had a disgustingly big Chinese last night.
Talk me through your order, please.
So prawn toast, 2 helpings of chicken balls, shredded chili beef, Malaysian battered chicken. Spring rolls, veggie and duck, prawn crackers, Thai chicken curry, egg fried rice. I think that's pretty much it.
Can I ask you a question? What's your problem with sauce?
What do you mean?
Well, what I mean is in that order, there's a lot of dry items there.
I have the sweet and sour sauce with the balls and I just fucking drench it in that.
Oh, right, okay. Because you got the Thai green curry with the sauce.
Yeah, yeah. I just couldn't be bothered to cook yesterday. West Ham had won, so I was celebrating.
Congratulations.
And I sort of, thank you. So I just thought, you know what, I'm just going to go for it and just order this mammoth Chinese. But my point being, you know what Chinese was? I always, as I'm eating it, and before, I feel so excited or I'm so enthralled by being a part of it. And then afterwards, I just feel so disgusting. I lay there watching Line of Duty like a big fat whale.
Yeah.
And you know what? This is fucking a sad indictment about my life. Talking about some of my great sporting endeavours of like playing water polo in fucking 96, 97 out in Magaluf and soccer. I couldn't get off the sofa yesterday.
Yeah.
Have you been there in that position?
Have I been there? Brother, yeah. I sometimes feel like I live there, mate. You know, that eating to that point. Like, there's so many things that you just said there that I recognise. Like, you know, like over-ordering from a takeaway to the point where Lisa looks at me like a disappointed mother. Do you know what I mean? He's done it again. I don't know how many times I have to talk to him about it. I don't know if we have to get someone in to have a chat with him about it. But, you know, like she just goes to me, why the fuck are you ordering so much food? And I go to her, like, you know, we have it tomorrow. She goes, a takeaway can just be one small meal, you know. It doesn't have to be.
Yeah.
I'll be honest with you. This is how I feel. I get as excited about the prospect of eating it the next day as I do about the prospect of having that night. So at the end of the meal, sometimes I look across and I think, fucking hell, I've got a great day ahead of me tomorrow. Do you know what I mean?
You just throw it all in a wrap.
Is that what you do?
Mate, if I'm having curry, if it's a, look, I'm gonna speak candidly here. I've got to say, a curry the next day is arguably better than the day you order it. Okay. It might not look amazing, but you heat that baby up, you put it in a nice wrap, especially if you get a brioche wrap. Chinese, I'm 50-50 on. And you know the sad thing is there was hardly anything left yesterday. This is how I feel I am when I'm ordering at any sort of takeaway. I feel that the Titanic is going down and I'm one of 4 people at the buffet, resigned to the fact that I'm going down with the ship, so I'm just going to eat and eat and eat. And that's how I feel when I'm ordering a takeaway. Like it's the last meal I'll ever have.
I order as if the cuisine of that country will be made illegal from tomorrow.
I look at it like it's like a really long, drawn-out fucking suicide bid.
And that was the one.
How did he kill himself? Over 20 years of ordering saturated fats.
Yeah. And it's fine. We think this is the spring roll that finally did it.
You're talking about a man whose wife didn't like spring rolls, but he ate eight spring rolls of different variants every time he ordered the Chinese. Like, you know, I was watching, like, so I had Line of Duty on last night. It's like, so it's about 9:15. The Chinese has been sitting out since about 7. And as I'm watching it, I just sort of keep on glancing over my shoulder at at these three spring rolls that I know are sitting there. And at 9:15, I ate them. And like, I couldn't get them out of my head. You know? It's like when Bob Hoskins sees Jessica Rabbit for the first time. Literally just like peering over my shoulder.
Can I tell you something? The reason I'm laughing is, one, because it's funny, but two, I can't tell you how much I fucking relate to it, man. Now, yeah. One of the most heartbreaking things I think can happen in a meal is if you're eating spring rolls, and as often I do, I'm not, you know, this whole thing where they advise you, eat consciously, engage with what you're doing. The number of times I fucking inhale a meal without even looking down, right? One of the most heartbreaking things you can do is be eating spring rolls, think you've got three left, and look down there's only two because you've miscounted how many you've eaten. Just the fucking devastation you feel. It's almost like you've not had spring rolls at all because you're just sort of like, I'm working my way through and getting myself emotionally ready for the fact that this is going to be my last spring roll. And now the fucking rug's been pulled out from under me. The crispy pastry rug has been pulled from under my feet.
It's such a kick in the dick because you have to savour every moment. And it's like, you know, actually, I'll tell you what is the game changer of every, and this is actually not going to do my order that we've talked about quite, I'd love coating everything in seaweed.
Really?
Like, yeah. Oh my God, the salty sweetness of seaweed.
So you put your plate selection together.
I'll make a base layer of the rice, right.
Okay,
and then I'll have sort of like a little sort of smile almost of like the beige items, the fried, deep fried stuff.
Yeah, sure. The golden arc.
Yes,
of the deep fried shit.
The golden arc, and then I'll put like a bit of curry, a bit of shredded beef, a bit of Malaysian chicken.
Nice.
Sweet and sour sauce, dribbled. Is it dribbled or what do you say?
I think dribble.
What's the?
There must be a chefy word for that when they do that little, that little thing.
And then I just get the seaweed and I just sort of knock it and dust it all over it.
That's lovely.
Yeah. Oh, chicken satay as well. We had.
I don't think you need satay.
But now I feel like grotty now though. I feel a bit. I haven't done enough fucking exercise recently, so
my exercise situation is becoming unacceptable now.
Yeah,
you know, I keep doing like 2 days, and then thinking I think I formed a habit. And then on the third day, I think I'm going to make this a break day, and then that break day lasts about a week, and then think I should get back to doing it. And it's not good for certainly not good for my body. What it isn't also good for is my head. Do you know what I mean? Like,
yeah,
it's bad, man.
I played golf yesterday, and I put on a polo shirt that. Before I started filming King Gary, I felt I looked decent in.
Mm.
I put it on and I just looked like a fat old middle-aged man who'd given up. Do you know what I mean? And I looked at myself and I thought, you know, like when you're playing in something like that as well, it's going to come untucked. It was sort of like, you know, you'll crouch down for the fucking ball and half your ass will be hanging out.
Mm.
It's just like, yeah, but you just, like, I went into golf yesterday on such a downer of just because of how fat, what a fat piece of shit I look like.
I really, honestly, mate, I want them to invent like a 360 mirror or something, right?
Yeah.
Because the number of times I have looked in the mirror and thought, never thought I've looked great. You look in the mirror and you think, I look passable. I am happy with that. But you sort of go, that's okay. But you are not represented by you holding, you don't look like you're holding your stomach in front of the mirror. It's just front on, complete front on view to most people that see you. So then inevitably what happens is like you'll sit, there'll be a photo taken of you or something, or so, you know, you'll catch a reflection of yourself from an angle that is one of the 359 degrees that isn't the one that you fucking looked at, and you look horrific. I mean, you go, oh,
mate,
that's what most people are saying. Okay, all right, cool. Well, that's good. I left the house with a little fucking molecule of self-esteem about how I looked, and now I've essentially put that in the fucking Hadron Collider, never to be seen again.
My stomach is just the thing that overalls everything. So we got sent over the press deals from King Gary for the series, and the photographer was very sweet. He's like, oh, I can't wait for you to see, you know, the stuff you've shot and go through it. So I start gliding through them, and then there's one where it's me and Laura Checkley standing back to back, and genuinely I look like a pregnant woman in her third trimester. I look like, who's pregnant with twins, or maybe even triplets. Like, everything else, you just have this massive stomach that's just coming over my trousers. And honestly, you know what? For the rest of that day is a write-off. It's a write-off. And you know what I should have done is gone, well, I'm going to do something about this. I'm going to go and do an hour's boxing and fucking, I'm going to get on the rowing machine. But I didn't. I fucking sat, I watched a load of people who have given their life to sport run around and do insane things. I then ate a fucking massive great Chinese. And I literally felt sorry for myself.
Mm.
Like a sad old cat.
Oh, here's the thing. Just because you mentioned Chinese and cats. What do you prefer, Chinese and Indian?
Indian all day long.
Right. And you prefer cats or dogs?
Dogs.
So I'm convinced there's a correlation between people who like cats also like Chinese food, and people who like dogs also really? Like Indian food. I'm pretty sure.
Why take one vacation with the family when you could take all of them? With Royal Caribbean, you don't just go to the beach. You visit a private island and race down the tallest water slide in North America. You don't just go for a road trip. You ATV and zip line through the jungle. You don't just go somewhere new. You rappel down waterfalls and discover ancient temples. Because this isn't just any vacation. This is all the vacations. Come seek the Royal Caribbean. Ships Registry, Bahamas.
Hey, it's Kaylee Cuoco for Priceline. Ready to go to your happy place for a happy price? Well, why didn't you say so? Just download the Priceline app right now and save up to 60% on hotels. So whether it's Cousin Kevin's Kazoo Concert in Kansas City, go Kevin! Or Becky's Bachelorette Bash in Bermuda, you never have to miss a trip ever again. So download the Priceline app today. Your savings are waiting.
Go to your happy place for a happy price. Go to your happy price, Priceline.
This episode is brought to you by Etsy. Sound the gifting panic alarm. You need to get an amazing gift. Wait, no, the perfect gift. Relax. Now you can use Gift Mode on Etsy. Gift Mode on Etsy takes the stress out of gifting, so you can find the perfect item for anyone and any occasion. It's easy. Just tap or click Gift Mode on your Etsy app or Etsy.com. Then answer a few short questions about who you're shopping for and what they like. And Gift Mode instantly gives you curated gift ideas based on hundreds of personas. Now it's simple to find gifts made by independent sellers for all the people in your life. So whether you need a housewarming gift for the new homeowner or a birthday present for the pickleballer, Gift Mode has you covered. Need to find the perfect gift? Don't panic. Try Gift Mode on Etsy now.
Could you email in to thewolfowlpod@gmail.com?
Yeah, it's a good, if you that's, fall that's into maybe that, my favorite ever
or,
debate.
Or if you don't fall into that, we'd love to know. And what's great about that is Lisa's going through the emails. So send as many as you like.
How's Lisa getting on with the emails? Is she enjoying it?
She's enjoying it. We actually got an email in saying that they think the quality of email selection has gone up since Lisa's taken over. Oh, wow. So can I just take this opportunity on behalf of both the Wolf and the Owl to pass our thanks on to the Shrew. No, I'm joking. On to Lisa.
The Shrew. Infamously, the most attractive of animals, the shrew.
Anyway, thanks, Lisa. Appreciate that. It was her birthday yesterday, actually.
Yeah, how mad, right? So it was Lisa's birthday Sunday, and it's my wife's birthday Saturday, Catherine's birthday Saturday.
I'm away at the moment in a secret location that we can't.
We can't disclose.
But I ordered. What did you get, Catherine, for her birthday?
So I've got a pair of trainers that she loves and a bag that she hates.
No.
Yeah. But she didn't, look, you know what? It was one of those things where she told me the sort of bag she likes. And I went renegade and I picked a bag that I thought she'd like. And in retrospect, I don't know what I was saying. I'm going to blame tiredness. I'm going to blame exhaustion. But Yeah, it's a nice bag. It's a really nice bag, but it's just not practical for what it looks like. It's a really nice bag if she worked in a city. Do you know what I mean? And she went to work in an office every day. But she doesn't do either of those things. So it's just a really impractical bag for me to have brought her.
I'm not saying this for Catherine's benefit. I'm saying this genuinely. But when we're on set and you were talking about getting her a present for her birthday, it was actually very sweet because I could tell that you genuinely wanted to get her like good stuff. I could tell that, man. It was very nice.
Yeah. That's why it's been such a kick in the teeth. No, but you know what? If I'm honest, I was arrogantly thinking in my head, I'd actually smashed Christmas and I got her a few gifts at Christmas that were I'd thought of and she was like, oh my God, these are amazing. So I probably was a little bit like cocksure and sort of, I should have followed the route laid. So I think trainers, handbags, clothes items, that's where, I mean, what was your situation? What happened with you?
Well, you know, I'm in a similar situation in that Lisa wanted a handbag, but what's different between Lisa and Catherine is that Lisa has absolutely zero trust in my ability to display any kind of initiative or express my own taste. So she actually told me exactly which one she wanted. And then I bought her some trainers that I chose. But I'm a bit nervous about the trainers because they haven't arrived yet, right? So they're due to arrive while I'm away. And you know, sometimes the person I'm getting them from, so it's taking a little bit of time. But this is what threw me a little bit, right? Is that I did a little test, and even though the test went the wrong way, I still gone ahead and done this thing that and chose these trainers because I was on.
Yeah,
like,
but you told me about this test.
Yeah. So I know. So I went onto the website that I think it's like Selfridges or something, and I picked out trainers that I thought in my head. I thought that she'd like, right? So I thought, and in my mind I had them. And then I called her over to the laptop. I don't know why I did this because it hasn't altered my behavior at all following it. And I said to her, can I just ask you which of these trainers you like? And she hated all of the ones that I had picked out in my mind's eye that she would like. And then what I should have done from that is gone, okay, Lisa, I'm going to be honest with you. That is a bit of an experiment. I can't be trusted to choose trainers for you. But instead, because she'd chosen the handbag, I wanted to show a little bit of like, I can, you know, there's a bit of romance in choosing a present, right? So
yeah.
So I've gone on and chosen, but I suspect that we're going to have the mirror opposite of, I've got a handbag she likes and there'll be trainers she doesn't like. Do you know what I mean?
So I've got to now change the handbag.
How did she, can you talk me through how Catherine expresses to you that she... How did she explain
She's very sweet, actually. She's very sweet. She realised the thought that had gone into it. But she was like, she looked at the bag, she was like chatting about it, but then she sort of said, I don't really think it's for me. So you could see she felt awful because she could see how much it mattered to me. But
yeah.
Also, I'd sooner that she told me that and we got another bag rather than I spent money on a handbag that just sits in a, and I'm like some goon who goes, are you going to take your handbag out? And then she brings it out and she's sort of hiding it from people.
It's horrible, isn't it? That thing of like having to use a present. I've had things where I was going out with a girl once and the way I said that was like, that was the end of the story. I was going out with a girl once and I used to wear caps. Well, I do now wear caps all the time. And I don't know why. I was in like my early 20s. I don't know why she thought this was a flex, but she bought me from the Warner Brothers store a matching. she brought me a matching Tasmanian Devil cap and polo.
How old were you, sorry?
About 22, right?
Jesus Christ. Fucking hell. Obviously, like, Warner Brothers-wise, Tasmanian Devil would be the most edgy of all the characters you can get. Imagine if that'd be me, she'd have brought me Goofy. Oh, my God.
I think it's one of those things where, like, I still do think Tasmanian Devil's like is funny, right? But, like, I don't want to wear his merch. But I was really into that relationship. And so she bought me the hat and the polo and I pretended I liked him. And then because I pretended I liked him, I then obviously had to wear that. And you know, like, I don't know how
you
to explain.
Together. You look like you work at the Warner Brothers store.
I mean, just imagine being 22, the other people wearing fucking Ralph polos. And I turn up. What's that logo, mate? I've not seen that before. Is that? Oh, it's the Tasmanian Devil.
You see Rom, yeah? Oh, it's a Tony's Disney merch. Warner Brothers Disney merch. Yeah, yeah, man. That's, yeah, the Harrington with Bugs Bunny on the other day. crew neck with Donald Duck.
Have you seen that? Have you seen that belt he's got with the Bugs Bunny buckle?
You see those crisp Elmer Fudd trainers he wears. Presents are hard though, man. Like when I was probably about the same sort of, I was about 25. I was getting out of a girl, and I was obsessed with her, right? And it came to her birthday, and her birthday was near mine, and she was obsessed with Madonna at the time,
right?
So I basically got a picture of Madonna,
yeah,
and like this massive like old poster of Madonna, and through a few people, I managed to actually get like her signature on this poster through some guys that I knew and whatever, and
I'm That's not amazing. To this day sure. How the hell did you manage to do that?
People I knew, people had done rigging on stages, worked with things. I knew someone actually at the time who'd worked with Live Nation when she was touring. I'd sort of like, to this day, if I'm honest with you, I'm not 100% sure that the signature is kosher.
Sure.
But it hangs in this girl's house to this day, I think, right?
How do you know to this day?
Because it's an amazing looking gift and right. She's a messing with it. I'd hope it's still there. Yeah. Someone so, like, I knew.
It's just the way you said it hangs up to this day. it's sort of on the edges of sinister, actually.
No, but so I get this poster, right, and signed poster, get it framed. It was really, really nice, yeah. And she was over the moon with it. And then for my birthday, I think she got me some sort of jeans or something that didn't really fit that well. Mm-hmm. And then sort of dumped me about a week after that.
Oh, and, how long? How long were you going out with her for?
I think about 8 months, maybe.
Okay, so 8 months is a reasonable time to buy a gift. Like, have you ever like gone in big, like too early in the relationship, and you thought I've absolutely fucked myself here?
Yeah, I mean, I think we all done. I think you know what? This is the thing about it. I think when you're in a relationship, you have to play a relationship like you are sort of Gary Neville in. Do you know what I mean? Like,
if you'd have given me a million guesses at what you were going to say there, Gary Neville would have been my second. No, I'm joking. I never would have got Gary Neville.
No, but it's not necessarily just Gary Neville, but I'd say what you got to look at, right, is going into a, like, quite in a relationship like a football team. Mm. Going in, steady, few really decent, steady performances, nothing too flash, just keeping yourself, like, head down. Fucking
are you talking about, sex now?
I'm talking about all of it. I'm oh, just because the worst thing you can do in a relationship is be Paolo Wanchope or someone, right? Remember Paolo Wanchope?
Yeah, I love
scores
Paolo
an
Wanchope.
Amazing goal. Yeah. One of his first games for Derby against Man United when he takes on the whole of this Man United team, right?
Yeah,
and he never ever from there ever eclipsed a moment bigger than that. Mm. That was him. That was the peak of his powers, right?
Mm. Mm.
Okay? Because most of us, like you, of course you can dabble and you can be Mbappe, right? And you can come in, you go in and you keep that consistently going. That's fucking hard. But if you come in here, like Gary Neville, steady right back, even Elite Dixon, basically like look at your fucking relationship like you're a good fullback, you're a decent fullback in a really top team and just steady, steady. Every now and again you get forward and you get a goal. And that's how you, I think that would be the advice I give to any young person entering a relationship.
I would describe it a little bit more like playing for sort of being the shittest player on a Sunday league side is how I would describe how I approach marriage, where you're so shit, even in that context, that the expectations of the fans, in this instance being your wife, are so low, so, so rock bottom low, that even if you manage to complete a throw-on.
You'd be more like a mascot. Like, you get everyone revved up at the start and then someone else takes over.
a couple of times I've got loose a really good presents. But, you know, like with other relationships, you know, when you sort of think, you go really big because you want to sort of, there's the danger is when you start a relationship, you're so excited about being in that relationship and you're so like, I want this to be good, that you go big. And actually, it can have a detrimental effect. It actually looks a bit kind of like, fucking hell, this is a bit full on, do you know what I mean?
Oh, mate, yeah. I mean, I'm going to be quite honest. Through nearly all of my 20s in every relationship that I was in, desperation fucking eked from every pore in my body.
Bro.
So pathetic.
The level...
They even thought that someone was going out with me.
Mate, 100%. The gratitude that I would feel that somebody actually wanted to be shackled to me in a relationship, you just come across as so fucking thirsty.
Honestly, when I've been given shit gifts in my 20s from someone, right, I swear on my life, I've turned around and said, don't worry about presents. Being with you is my present. I've just brought someone a miniature dachshund.
I'd be like, you know how I remind myself of when I was in those relationships in my 20s? Is that the woman that Eddie Murphy's supposed to marry at the beginning of Coming to America? You know, like... Just desperate to do anything if that means it will please the other person.
Oh, mate. You know what? When I think about some of the fucking... Like, I remember I was probably about 18, 19, and I was at home with my parents, and I really, really liked this girl, and she was picking me up, and we were going to go out and sort of meet some other people and go for it. And my mum's quite sort of... my mum's sort of vegetarian, vegan. She loves all that sort of cooking, so she's quite new age with her thinking. And, you know, so she basically made these cauliflower fritters. Right, spicy sounds cauliflower nice. Fritters, and me being greedy, I just chowed a load of these down, not even thinking of the repercussions of what that would do to my smell and my breath. And I remember getting in the car with this girl, and her friend was there. And you know, like when someone's got a friend,
you got into a car,
having shitloads
of cauliflower fritters.
And her friend, I could tell her friend just, I could see her looking in a rearview mirror and her friend just trying not to burst into laughter because I stank so much, right? And me being me, I'd like lathered on dupe, do you know what I mean? I was like glazed in dupe, do you know what I mean? And you could still smell the cauliflower fritters. And we bounced into this fucking place and I could see like sort of the emergence of the fact that before I knew it, everyone in this bar knew that it was me who stank of cauliflower fritters. And even to this day, like, I still know this girl. She still jokes about the stink. Like, you know, it really had like an impact on me as a human. And just even now thinking, I get chills down my spine of thinking of, yeah, I had so many dates like that. Times you'd go out with girls that you'd really like and think, oh, this might be the... And also, let me just tell, I think even looking back now, I was firmly in the friend zone there. I was in a car with her and her friend turning up at a pub, like one of the girls.
It's like we live the same life, bro. Like, the number of times I'd be chatting to girls, I'd convince myself that this girl, there's a couple that sort of spring to mind, convince myself that I'm on the edge of having a relationship with this girl. And there's absolutely no way. She saw me as like some sort of asexual pet that she'd bring with her.
No. I will fucking tell you the worst thing that's ever fucking happened, right? This is genuinely, right? So, you know, like when you're that age and you sort of like, you're knocking around in a group, these guys and girls and whatever, and you might just go up. And I remember all of us going uptown and fucking going to one of those clubs on Leicester Square, you know, like, I can't remember, one of those awful clubs in Leicester Square. And I'm with this girl and I'm thinking, oh, there's a good chance that things might, you know, kick on here. You know, I've sort of like, you know, we text a lot, we call a lot, and we sort of like get on and sort of I make her laugh, right? And she starts talking to this guy. And I sort of like squeeze over and I'm like, yo, you're all right, how you doing, you all right? And she's like, this is genuine. She turns around and says, this is Tom. He's like a big sister to me. It's genuinely like, someone has just taken, like literally walked up with steel toe cut boots and just punted you as hard as he can in the balls.
Yeah.
And I didn't go, a big sister. I was like, hey, how you doing? Like, just running my foot. Oh man,
it's so bad because you haven't even got the self-belief to kind of to kick against No. You go, yeah, you know me, just big sis Tom.
Well, your big sister's gonna go get some drinks.
You better not hurt my little sister because whoa. I'll be coming for you, Charles.
and just the guy walking up to the girl a bit later and going, yo, yo, I've just seen your big sister crying in the toilets.
Oh, my God. Mate, I relate to that so much. That fucking... I remember when I was a kid at school, just being... I was so fat, like, with a lazy eye that... And I remember, like, not realising how other kids saw me or, you know... And I remember, like, there's a girl that we... I don't know if I told you this before. There's a girl that everybody fancied. And... We were about 9, right? But there was this girl that had just joined the school. For some reason, if you join a school late, you become the most attractive person in the whole year group, right? So this girl started and
unless you're me and you. To say now.
We're the only ones to break that duck. You seen that new kid? Yeah, it's the most hideous looking gargle I've ever seen in my life. how do you know the word gargle? You're very young to know that. I learned it specifically. I actually asked my mum what a word would be for something that
I drew a picture of the new kid, and she said, oh, he looks like a gargoyle.
anyway, so the couple of mates were like talking about, like sort of joking around, all of these boys fancied her, they're joking about who she might want to go out with. And then one of the guys went, why don't you go out with Romesh? And it's very difficult to explain the nuance of this. She laughed like that was a joke at her expense. and then everyone started laughing. And that the very idea that she would be involved with me would be like a prank on her. And I was like, oh, okay. This is... I'm not the really good-looking boy that my mum keeps telling me I am.
My mum never told me that.
Well, honestly, my mum really fucking... I know that, you know, parents, it's nice when parents pick you up, but to give a boy like me the impression that I was, you know, good, oh, my good-looking, handsome son, and then I go into school and I go, just come home. I never did this, but just one day come home and go, Mum, can I just have a chat with you? I don't mind what the answer is. It's just that you keep telling me I'm good-looking, but all of my social interactions seem pretty much consistent with a kid who's fucking hideous. So do you want to just own up to me?
I looked about 40 when I was that age anyway. I was so tall and gangly. I mean, it's made us stronger, right?
It has made us stronger, yeah. And what's also clear about it, what I'm really happy about, is it doesn't bother us now. We've definitely drawn a line under it. What I'd be worried about, Tom, is if it had left us with any ongoing hang-ups that we carry with us to this day. But I think it's quite clear we've absolutely put that to bed and we are ready to rock.
Neither of us have actually done that much about our appearance either.
No. Do you know how much anxiety it's given me? It gives me so much anxiety, I will agonise after this podcast about saying the words ready to rock. That's how much baggage I've got.
Honestly, you know, when you see some people who you went to school with
who
are sort of tubby and they're all chiselled now, that sort of like they've got a really sort of swag look about them.
Look, Bumble knows you're exhausted by dating. All the, must not take yourself too seriously, and... 6-1 since that matters. And what do I even say other than, hey? Well, that's why they're introducing an all-new Bumble. With exciting features to make compatibility easier, starting the chat better, and dating safer. They've changed, so you don't have to. Download the new Bumble now.
Me and you still look like... me and you, if you showed a picture of me and you go, what do you think these two are like at school? They go, they're pretty funny kids, but sort of like, you know... Losers. At least you're intelligent.
Okay. Do you want to do a couple of emails?
Yeah. Hit us up.
All right. So here we go. Just one thing while I'm looking for this email that I want to find. A few people have emailed a bit annoyed about this running race thing.
Yeah. I mean, look, I just think the spectacle of it. I wasn't in probably the best. Fitness is the best shape for it. So I think when you're back from your secret location and when we can be in a studio together, which hopefully we can be in a studio together once you're back from your secret destination.
We're going to be doing podcasts together, right?
Yeah, yeah, yeah. So we need to, own that shiz.
Okay, here we go. So this one is, I'm going to keep this guy anonymous for his benefit. He's not asked to be anonymous, but...
Okay.
But it's just, anyway, you'll see what I mean. Morning, Lisa, Romesh and Tom. I hope you're all well and have had a good week.
Well, Lisa's moved from...
She's gone first.
Wow, that's mad, isn't it? So what is this? Good for Lisa.
Yeah, but I mean, it's not the Shrew Wolf and Owl podcast.
You know what? When we started off with this, Lisa was, no offense, Lisa was doing brilliantly, and Lisa was sort of like, looking at emails. Now it feels like Lisa has a pet owl and a pet wolf.
I know.
It's Lisa's podcast.
If you'd like to say, if you'd like me to pass on a message to the two animals that I keep.
Well, she's Carol Baskin.
Everybody wonders how the owl died. A lot of people say that Lisa killed it and fed it to the wolf. But
just deep fried him in batter and coated him in sweet and sour sauce.
Just sprinkled with seaweed. Okay. My question, he said some very nice things about the podcast. My question problem is it wrong for me to get so excited about meeting up with my mates for a round of golf or beers in their garden? I've got a round booked on Sunday because obviously things are relaxing, aren't they? And I'm already getting ready for it. Golf clothes washed and ready, clubs ready. I'm ready and excited to see my mates and play golf. My girlfriend sees how excited I am and comments that I'm never this excited to do things with her and our one-year-old daughter. She's probably right, as I'm visibly more excited about golf, but I love them more than anything, especially golf and my mates. I love them more than anything, especially golf for my mates. Should I play it down, or is it okay to be excited like a child to see the boys for golf and garden beers? Tom?
Well, my wife, do you know what? One of the sweetest things is when I got back from golf, and after the first lockdown and golf sort of first came back, it was she was so lovely because she could see how excited I was to come back and to. Because it just meant a lot just going out having a beer and play golf. And I think it's fine to be excited about doing that because we've not been able to do it for ages. What I will say is this, and this is what I sort of have tried to do, and it's really difficult, but I think now things are opening up again and we are getting in a position where you have got that, is make sure that you're planning things that you're doing with your wife and your daughter that you're as excited about as... Like, I'm so excited just to go out for a meal with my wife. I can't wait just to sit in a restaurant and have a meal together and a couple of drinks. Mm. And I think make sure she knows that you're as excited about that. And as men, I'm not perfect quite a lot of the time. I really have trouble sometimes conveying my emotions across and saying, like, oh, yeah, I'm so, oh, my God, I'm so, and any little thing, sometimes just conveying that, it can be quite difficult. And I think because golf is... doing these things, you are buzzing or whatever, just going and seeing your mates, you will be like, but I think it's just trying to find a way of conveying that to your wife that you are looking forward to doing something with them as much.
Look, the truth of it is, it's quite understandable that you'd be visibly excited about doing golf and going out with your mates because it's something you haven't been able to do for such a long time. Whereas you have been able to be with your other half and your daughter or something. Human nature is, you're not taking for granted, but you just sort of accept the things that you've got with you all the time and you get excited about the things that you haven't been able to do. So having said all of that, I can understand why your other half might, find that, sort of feel like it's a bit weird that you're getting so excited. But I just think you just got to reassure her, mate. Do you know what I mean? At the end of the day, this is a thing where you just go, I am excited about doing this because... it's something I enjoy doing, but obviously it doesn't mean that I love doing that more than I love you. I mean, I got really excited about The Force Awakens coming out and I talked about it nonstop and I wanted to really go and watch it. It doesn't mean I love that film more than my wife and children, although it's up there. No, I'm joking. All I'm saying is that your human nature is to get excited about things and the things that you've got in your life all the time. It'd be fucking mad if you're waking up every morning and going to, holy shit, I'm with you again. Woo! Do you know what I mean? That would be, I would say, more worrying, actually. So, look, she's feeling a little bit, understandably, a little bit, put out. What you just got to do, explain to her there's absolutely nothing that can compare to to those two people in your life. They're the most important people in your lives. And nothing, no level of excitement about golf or mates will even come close to challenging that. First, you know, finally, I would like to say, you sound like an absolutely great guy. You sound like a wonderful, wonderful bloke.
Yeah. If you ever fancy a game of golf, hit us up on the fucking Wolf and Our podcast. Email in if you are ever around the Crawley area or around London.
Not the Crawley area.
A game of golf.
Why are you saying Crawley area? You don't live anywhere near.
Well, I'll
Crawley.
Travel down to you. We'll have a game of golf with him. The three of us playing golf would be fun.
How do you know that?
We'd have a laugh. Me and you would definitely. You'd be funny.
How do you know that you, me, and this guy would have a laugh?
I just feel it in him that he'd be fun. He'd be excited, but imagine how excited he'd be playing the golf with the game of golf with the Wolf for now.
Do you know what I think would happen? There's a possibility he'd be excited for about, I don't know,
and then five to six minutes at golf.
Yeah, and he'd just sort of the reality of the fact that he's about to spend 3 hours with people that he actually doesn't get on with would
and
hit
home. Play golf.
Yeah, and then he'd go home and his missus would be absolutely fucking furious about how excited he's been about it all day. Just wanking his head off about going to play golf with the Wolf for now. Do you know the owl had the shrew as his caddy?
Shrew.
Good luck, mate. Good luck. This next email is from Josh and Michael. I think I can say their names. Writing on behalf of two of your biggest fans in Israel.
Wow, Israel.
Yeah.
That's pretty cool.
I know you love that stuff. I'm originally from London and Michael is from the Netherlands and we've been living out here for some time. Absolutely loving the podcast. Michael and I are best mates and we often lean on each other for advice in all matters. In this case, we're experiencing a very similar problem at the same time and have no idea how to help each other. So I'd love to hear the thoughts of the Wolf and Owl. In Israel, offices have remained open during the pandemic and with the majority of the country already vaccinated, working from full or almost full to capacity offices is the norm again. Michael and I work for different companies, but are suffering from sitting next to newly hired colleagues with unbearable hygiene issues. Michael's has toxic bad breath, and mine has unbearable body odour. Neither of us know the best, most sensitive way to address the problem to find a remedy. We don't know if it's right to get a manager involved and speak directly to the culprit seems too mean, okay. Especially as we don't know if the cause is lax hygiene standards or a medical condition. We both want to be sweet, sweet souls. But it's because this is a joke here, and I'd love to know your take on this one. But it's becoming impossible to focus at work sitting next to B.O. Walcott. Would love to hear your thoughts about how to approach the issue.
I like B.O. Walcott. I'm
what I thought you'd like
Thank
that.
You.
I thought you'd like that.
Look, there's many different ways. I remember when I was a kid at school, we had a little farter at school. Like I was probably about 9 or 10, and someone was farting in class and the teacher made us all stand up and then came around and smelt all our bums.
Oh my God. Are you being serious?
Yeah. Like, yeah. Yeah.
Mate. Is that teacher true? Still working in education?
No. Mrs. Craven, her name was.
Right. I assume she's in prison.
She put in a dead fox once, a bit of roadkill for us all to draw. And just flies and stuff in the summer, just buzzing all around the glass. Yeah. So she did that. But, this is the thing right now. Because now I'm a bit older.
Where the fuck did you go to school, bro?
I know that farts don't hang around your bum, right?
Sorry. Okay, Karen, sorry. I'm
go on. No, go on.
No, it's just a woman who brought a dead... That is, first of all, that alone... I think as a teacher is a fucking red card offence, bringing a dead fox for the children to draw, right?
Yeah.
Secondly, she sniffed every one of your asses.
Yeah.
Did you go home and tell your parents? If one of our kids came home and said our funny story, there was a kid that kept farting in class and the teacher got us to all stand up and they sniffed our asses. I'd be at the school the next morning with a fucking legal team. Anyway.
Yeah, I told my mum, I think my mum complained at the time, but so she got struck off. Like, she was quite, very religious and quite a strange being. But anyway, look, number one, farts don't hang around at your bum. We know that now. At the time, she blamed a kid called Daniel Lemon, So he was just like known as a stinky kid. Actually, probably wasn't even Daniel Lemon. But anyway, what my point is, guys, is this. You should try and engineer some way of saying, oh, look, someone smells in the office, and then just get like the senior manager to go around and smell the armpits of all the staff or the breath of all the staff, and then just go, oh, it's this guy. And then that, because to be fair, the farting thing sort of stopped after she did that. Because I think everyone was worried
because Daniel Lemon was dead. He'd been beaten shitless by all the other kids in his class for being the farter of the school.
I just think people saw that there was fucking repercussions. So whether you can just do something like that could work.
If you want to do the thing that Tom's teacher, who was subsequently struck off, did, then please feel free to do that. Go on, what's your other option? So bearing in mind that was your first one. So I'm dying to know what the second one was.
Or what you do is, right, if it's a person with BO, you start sneaking like counter deodorant into his bag or into his desk or whatever. Or her, could be her, whoever it is. Right, you start putting deodorant into their things, and just slowly, if they see enough deodorant, they'll start using it. Or, you know, when they come in, they go,
fuck it, my bag's really heavy. I was wondering why it was so heavy. So, I've barely been able to pick it up. And then I open up, there's 35 cans of deodorant in it. Maybe I should start using this. That's what...
Yeah.
Do you not think their instinctive reaction might be, who the fuck has done this? It's not going to be, oh, well, I've got this deodorant fairy that keeps leaving deodorant in my bag.
They'd hopefully use it, right?
So is it like an... You're talking about like an anonymous kind of bullying?
No. And it, like, obviously then you put extra strong mints in, or... I tell you what's really good for the guy with bad breath, or person with bad breath, is airwaves.
Can I say something? Extra strong mints is a cure for bad breath is such a fallacy, because what you get is minty dog shit breath, right? This idea that it cures it, it's like you've put Colgate on a turd. It doesn't cure it. You need to look at the causal issues of that. Do you know what I mean?
Right. I think you've got two ways there of dealing with it.
No.
Or send an anonymous email.
That's actually, do you know what? You managed to finally pull a borderline usable idea out of your ass at the last second there. Because
I think I'd probably go with the first one.
Yeah. If you want, so I would say the way that I would do it is send an email to your manager going, would you mind sniffing the armpits of everyone that works here?
No, only everyone on that little circular desk or whatever.
And just so you know, I know who it is, but I'd like you to sniff everyone's armpits.
Yeah.
Or...
That would work, though, no?
Yeah. Or if you want to, over the course of a few weeks, just keep buying deodorant cans and sneaking them into this person's bag.
What you could do is get someone to start going out with the person so that they sort of build a trust and a bit of love and emotion with them. And then they say, oh, babe, do you know that you actually smell a bit?
Yeah. And then that friend will say to you, can I just ask, why is you hook me up with the smelliest bastard in the office?
No, they're in on it. The person
they're in on it. So they've got to enter into a relationship. Can you do me a favour? There's somebody at work that stinks a bit. So I need you to enter into a relationship with them.
You should do a whip round in the office and get like 500 quid.
Would you go out with somebody for 500 quid?
What, had bad personal hygiene?
Yeah, yeah.
Probably went up before I was married, I would have, yeah, right. Just to help out a whole, yeah.
Yeah, okay. So there you go, there's some advice.
I mean, the sad truth, the sad indictment, even if they stank and had awful fucking personal hygiene, yeah, I wouldn't be odds in the fact that they go out of me.
Even if they stank, terrible breath, hideous personality, and bought me a matching Tasmanian Devil hat and polo, I'd still be absolutely delighted. With the relationship.
you had found someone to go. Oh, I love you, Rob.
The truth is that I think if you want this tackled, the thing that you have to do is have a discreet conversation with them. Is the truth of it.
Yeah.
You've got to decide whether having that conversation is more or less difficult than putting up with that for the rest of your working life, basically. And also, it's one of those things where it will hurt them at the time, but actually you are doing them a huge favour. So
yeah,
you need to just speak to them about it, man. All right, Tommy. It's about that time. Yeah, please do, brother. Please do.
For there was a gardener, a sweet, sweet soul, who planted two seeds. One was of a sunflower, and one was of a plant that wasn't as pretty as a sunflower. Or maybe just a big bush, or a rose of kind. Anyway, as the sun started to shine and the water lay into the dewy soil, the sunflower started to grow, and it started to be beautiful and such. And the bush, stroke tree type thing, was just a horrible big stick coming out of the ground. And people used to walk past the sunflower and say, oh my God, the sunflower's amazing, amazing. Oh my God, it's so beautiful. And they'd ignore the stick. Anyway, years became decades, and decades became a little bit longer, whatever comes after that. And although the sunflower every year came back, people have become bored of its sort of sunny yellow flowerism, and they got used to seeing it. And one day, a man and his wife and kids walked past and saw this big, beautiful oak tree standing next to the sunflower. And he said, look at that tree and how lovely it is. And the kids said, can we climb it? And he said, yes, but this tree is strong enough to take your weight climbing. Its strongness has been developed over years of toil and hard weather and listening to people rave about the sunflower. And as the two kids start to clamber up the tree, the mum shouts, kids, kids, be careful not to fall on the sunflower, for it can't take your weight. The moral of this story is some people will grow quickly and shine, but they won't be able to take the weight of a child or something else falling on them because they haven't got the know-how or wherewithal to do it. Don't worry if it takes a little longer to shine, for one day you will become a tree. I'm out.
That was one of your best ones, I think. I genuinely think so.
It's an enjoyable one, though. Yeah.
I don't know if it was the fact that you couldn't think of what the tree might be when it first started growing, or the fact that you started with years and didn't leave yourself much where to go. I mean, I've absolutely fucked myself there. But I loved it.
You know what I was talking about, though, yeah?
Yes, I knew what you were talking about, yeah. If that's your absolute target for conversation, that I sort of roughly know what you're talking about, then yes, you're doing very well.
Magga. And by the way, I said my gay, not Magga, which has been at the end of all of these, signing off with Magga, make America great again.
So anyway, peace out from the Wolf and the Owl. See you next time.
Adios.
If you have a problem, opinion, feedback, or anything at all, please email us at wolfowlpod@gmail.com. That's wolfowlpod@gmail.com. We'd love to hear from you, mainly because we don't have any content ideas. Thank you.